Neurejena vida je posodo prala.
Zraven nekaj krožnikov razbila.
Za volanom je zaspala.
Saj službo zgubila.
Šifte je nagnal.
Ker nosečniški trebuh je zaznal.
Da je mera polna.
Od domače te peške je že bolna.
Sama si je trapa kriva.
Če tudi posilevalcu zanimiva.
Sektor Ž. Oddaja o nesposobnih ženskah. To soboto ob enih popovdne.
Hana Albajaci in pravice do upora. Tokratno mesto žensk je na enem izmed svojih predavanj gostilo Hano Albajati, francozinjo iraškega rodu, ki trenutno živi v Egiptu. Z izjavami in sodbami o ameriški okupaciji Iraka in indiferentnosti Zahoda, katere ponavadi podkrepi z anekdotami ter osebnim šarmom, je na koncu prekratkega predavanja v nabito polnem škucu požela velika aplavz navdušene množice. Hana Albajati upor in aktivizem izvršuje po brehtovsko. V roko je vzela svoje znanje ter se pridružila mnogim v intelektualnem uporu zoper ameriško oblast v Iraku. Najprej nam je povedala, kako je z aktivizmom sploh začela, glede na to, da v Iraku ni nikoli bivala.
I didn't start activism by hazard. I'm the daughter of a political animal, of someone who probably since he was 8 years old and saw the first demonstration in Baghdad against the creation of Israel has never stopped thinking politically. So he trained me, he actually created the little soldier, and I thank him for this. I don't regret, but I mean I was probably of the other children the most receptive, and he took the opportunity to give me a lot of analysis, a lot of weapons intellectually, so that I take up the fight and I'm the new generation. I agreed to participate in this. I was involved in thinking politically forever, I suppose. At that time, like all of us, I participated in the demonstration against this invasion, and I actually thought we could stop that war, and I thought we could change history punctually, you know. And now I understand that the struggle is very long, that it will continue even after my death. So once this film was over, of course, like some people in this planet, but especially Iraqis, we went through a period of shock. So I had a few months that I really didn't know what to do, and I was very vulnerable. We had failed to change history, but then I thought I cannot get into depression while they are under the bombs, so I should find a way to help. And I met people who were in the same state of mind and who had the idea to have a people's tribunal. I thought the idea was a respectable one. So I got involved in this, and once you put one foot inside, you can never get out. That's the answer.
What are actually your activities now? What you're actually doing?
Well, different things, and different things according to the situation also. So sometimes I try to spend most of that, my time trying to collect information. Sometimes I try to digest this information and write some things that might be understandable by people who are not activists. Sometimes I think it's important to speak publicly and to have direct human contact with people. But the most important thing I think we should all do is call for the recognition of the resistance. It's not a job, but it's a daily struggle to say there is a right of people under foreign occupation to resist by all means. And these people are the legitimate representative of the popular support they gain. And there is nothing more democratic than this. So if we are talking about democracy, then we understand that the right to resist is the most democratic principle in the life. And I spend my time getting into disputes with people who think that they are Democrat and in fact they are not.
So we can say that your battle is not a battle with a weapon, but it's more a struggle with the political power.
Yeah, sure. I never participated in armed struggle. I was accused once. I don't know how to handle a weapon. I'm a French citizen. I was brought up in French schools. Really, they didn't teach me a lot about how to organize warfare. But this is what I explain when I try to defend the cause of the Iraqi people, is that resistance is a social movement. It has different expressions, but these expressions are not divided. Not the way intellectually, conceptually we think. It's not because a guy participate in armed struggle maybe in the evening, but he doesn't participate in civil struggle during the day. It's not because a guy is a painter that he's not part of the resistance. His paintings might be as resistant as someone who can carry a gun. So the Iraqi population is in resistance against the occupation. Of course, some people articulate better than others the defense of the general interest. So they can be charged with, in the future, if we recognize them, they can be charged with imagining a new organization of a state after liberation. Because we trust their wish and actually deeds of defending the general interest. But it's the entire Iraqi population that is in resistance. There is not something abstract that is called the Iraqi resistance. It's the Iraqi population. Some carry armed struggle, some political struggle, some civil struggle. Iraqi women are heavily involved in resisting this occupation. They don't carry weapons, or maybe some of them do.
You said before that we have to see that everything what happens now in Iraq is actually illegal.
Yeah.
So people are fighting against, even if it seems that there is a civil war. You said there is no civil war in Iraq.
There is an attempt by the occupation to create civil war for the past 5 years. It is not working. Actually, what worked is that the occupation managed to unite all Iraqis against the occupation. This is the consequence of the attempt to divide the people. In fact, they united all the people against them. But yes, it was part of the plan, and it is still part of the plan, to divide Iraqis according to artificial identities, or maybe existing identities, but secondary identities. Basically, Iraqis consider themselves first Iraqis, then this or that, so then Arab or Kurd or Turkmen, or then Muslims or Christian, within the Muslims Sunni or Shia, etc. But the first identity is to be Iraqi. The occupation is trying to use the richness of Iraqi society against Iraqis, and it failed. It didn't fail in the sense that Iraqis are dying, but it failed in the sense that they cannot find one Iraqi nowadays that would support their plan. So they have to find another tactic. They cannot convince Iraqis that it's their interest to be divided, that it's their interest to privatize their resources, that it's their and it's not in there, it's as obvious as this. Basically, take an Iraqi, even he is not political. You tell him, we come here to liberate you, we will privatize all, what will be the consequence? The middle class will lose its work. The working or poor class will not anymore have social benefits of the state, the welfare state, and who in fact will benefit from the plan? A few feudal backwards warlords, and they are making a lot of money. I can tell you, I try to document how much money the collaborators are doing. They are making a lot of money. But they are such a margin, very small of society, that the entire society, whatever its political affiliation might be, cannot support this project. And Arab societies, for different reasons it's too long to explain, are much more politicized than other societies. So Arabs, a child of 8 years old is political, and he knows that the oil belongs to him. So whatever you try to sell that says, oh no, in fact it's your interest to give it to a foreign company so that then you will benefit from the goods that they make, no one can buy this. Even the son of a farmer that is probably less educated than in the urban area. So it didn't work. Whatever belonging or affiliation, political analysis the people had, they rejected from the very first day the plan of the Americans. They might have been tricked because the Americans have a lot of means, financial means, military means, etc., to convince.
Hana je na predavanju upozorila tudi na popačenje realnosti, ki jo preko medijev in javnih nastopov širi ameriška administracija. Po njenem mnenju bi tako med drugim tudi morali
dismantle also the idea that there were democratic elections. First, the elections were done like this, at gunpoint. This is the first thing. Second, the people who participated in this election, they thought that finally they would have honest representatives that would call for the end of the occupation. What the people, what the candidates, now the collaborators, what the candidates were telling the people is, we need to be sovereign, we will be a majority, so then we will be able to call for the end of occupation by peaceful means. We don't need to take weapons and get into the armed struggle to push the occupier out. We will have a parliament that will be able to call for the end of the occupation. Of course, that parliament cannot make one decision, smoke which brand of cigarette, without the Americans having to say yes or no. So a part of the population was tricked into thinking that by participating in the political process they could end the occupation. But already at that time, the people who participated in the elections thought it was a way to end the occupation. Nowadays, all Iraqi people cannot be tricked anymore. It has been 5 years and a half, they have been the killing, they have seen the killing, they know that even in the areas that supposedly voted for this or that and thought they would defend their interests, the same don't get electricity, don't get water, there is no economy, there's no work apart from killing each other that you can be paid for. There is no other economy than this. They understand that they did not benefit in any way from participating in what is called this political process.
Hana Al-Bayati opozarja tudi na številne civilne in vojne žrtve zaradi okupacije ZDA. Do sedaj umorjenih je vsaj 500 tisoč Iračanov, skoraj 5 milijonov jih je moralo zavetje poiskati drugod, na tisoče je izginulih ali pridržanih ter ovodelih. Prav tako je ameriški režim zdesetkal srednji družbeni razred, ki je znal neodvisno upravljati z naravnimi bogatstvi države ter predstavljal temelj za nadaljni razvoj kulture in ekonomije. Konec srednjega razreda pa je pomenil tudi uničenje javnih storitev in socialne države za celoten narod. Hana Al-Bayati in njeni somišljeniki dosedanje ravnanje ZDA opišejo kot
making a genocide with a purpose. By now, you could not achieve any of your goals. You are making a genocide without purpose, because sure, your goals cannot be achieved. The collaborators in the Green Zone refuse to sign the privatization. Can you imagine? They know that if they sign anything that privatizes Iraqi oil, it's high treason, and it will be remembered by all families, by all tribal chiefs, by all for the entirety of Iraqi history. So they don't dare sign. It is a complete failure. They didn't fail in killing. They failed in every other aspect.
So how could you explain? The Americans say that they came, that the United States came in Iraq for bringing some democracy.
Well, nobody in Iraq believed that they were coming for democracy. I actually saw very early in the occupation, I saw a beautiful video in Bakuba, a little place outside Baghdad, where the Americans were saying that the insurgents are hiding behind the trees to attack us, so we have to cut the trees. So they had a massive campaign of cutting palm trees. You seem to be a little informed about Islam. The palm tree is sacred. Al-Nakhl. So they were cutting trees. Even culturally, it's unbearable. For every Arab, for every Muslim, actually. And there was this Iraqi young boy who helps me in my work to collect information. He's the son of a farmer, so he can move around like this. I love him. He went to make a little video, and there was a little boy like this, 7 years old or 6 years old, and he interviewed the boy. He said, "So what do you think?" And behind the boy in the image, the palm trees are falling. And he says, one tree, five soldiers. This is Iraq. And this will always be Iraq. You cannot change you cannot break the will of the Iraqi people to be independent. They have been great civilizations. You cannot tell them, no, you are not able. Or no, you don't know, we have a civilizational mission, we will come and teach you. The idea of democracy, Iraqis had been subjected to 13 years of economic sanctions that killed at least 1 million Iraqis. In the days of the economic sanctions, never they bombed the south of Iraq, Basra, on a regular basis. They were no-fly zones. So there were many military operations at that time. They never bombed the presidential palace. If you actually wanted to get the regime out, you would have taken other policies than impoverishing the entire people. The Iraqis were very conscious of this, and Saddam Hussein was very conscious of this. Saddam Hussein, it is now public, so I can say, a few months ago it was not possible to say, had before the invasion a meeting with young officers of the Iraqi army and allowed them to organize the resistance. It means, if you are a dictator and you are scared about your future, you will never let young officers organize something military because you think that they will take the opportunity to make a coup against you. Every single Iraqi was conscious that it was not about the government, that Iraq was being attacked, and that if you wanted to defend Iraq, you had to get organized, and that the question was not Saddam Hussein or not Saddam Hussein, probably from 1997-98, but in 2003 it's obvious to all Iraqis.
Za kakšno družbo pa se Iračani, za katere Hana pravi, da
they know their history, they know they contributed to humanity more than anyone. You cannot convince them to stop fighting. It's for good or bad, you know, there are days that this tragedy is so overwhelming that you wish that you had more obedient and subjected Iraqis, you know, that just that we stop. But there are days you are so proud of these people's struggles that it gives you so much strength that you think you want to kiss their feet for their struggle.
Sploh borijo.
There are things that are very common, that sure, it is not a capitalist society. There is territorial unity, it's a unified Iraq. Then maybe some people imagine that you can decentralize some kind of things or other kinds of things. These are different currents of analysis. But it's not a partitioned Iraq, this is for sure. I think, and this, I am not living inside Iraq, and maybe I'm too related to the middle class in a way, so maybe I'm wrong, but I think really there is a rejection of political Islam, general rejection. So more or less that it would be a secular system that of course derives its principle from its own culture and civilization, that is Islam, but that the power is not in the hands of the religious leaders. I think this is generally accepted. I think one of the main problems for the Iraqis is the fact that there has been now, under the sanction and now even more drastically, a non-access to education, whereas Iraq was very educated. So the real tragedy and what people are thinking about is how to have access to education, how to get our children the right to knowledge. This is a very big problem, and this, of course, if we manage, we'll have a new generation of thinkers, and it's for Iraqis to think about their future. Iraq is part of the Arab world. You cannot pretend that Iraq is not in its region. You cannot make it's a lie to say that Iraq has more interest to deal, make commercial deals with Russia or America or Israel when it should deal with its own neighbors. Of course, all Iraqis, I suppose, maybe not political parties currently, but the people, still will defend Palestine. So very little will change. But one thing that might change is that the idea of a one-party state has been abandoned all over the world, and the Iraqis went through this process of criticism of the one-party state in their intellectual discussion. So it will be impossible to have a dictatorship in Iraq. Impossible. Just because everybody now thinks he's the new leader.
And what about your refugee program? You're working also for the refugees?
Well, the displacement of Iraqis is the biggest population displacement since 1948, and now of Palestinians, and now it exceeds much more, even in terms of proportion, the Palestinian displacement. We see how the Palestinian cause is until now very present. The Iraqi cause will be forever. I just hope we can get this sorted with as quickly as possible. And there is a way. First, we need to end the occupation. But what I try to say is we cannot just say end the occupation and yes to the resistance. Meanwhile, there are people who are very sympathetic to the resistance cause because they are the resistance. They are the civil one or the political one. And they need to find enough security, living in terms of direct means, to be able to express, to be able to survive, to be able, etc. Even politically, it's important that we hear the refugees, because the refugees can explain you what is this occupation. You cannot nowadays pretend you can report in Iraq. It's not true. There is not one journalist that can go inside Iraq if he is not related to the occupation. There's no independent journalism. Impossible. So as long as we are in the situation that Iraq has been completely isolated, that it is impossible to report from Iraq, from inside. Well, let's go and see the people who came 2 weeks ago, no? And let's hear that voice and let's find a solution that is politically correct in the struggle for an independent Iraq so that they can live and they can participate in this struggle. You know, at the time being, for example, you have many Iraqis who wish to participate in the struggle publicly, but just they don't have residency permits. If they speak too loud, they are facing death. I have a French passport, I can speak. It's not that I'm courageous, that I'm in a much better situation. The refugees themselves, not only they don't have recognized passports, they live illegally, they don't have real financial future, everything is running out. So these people, if we secure them, not only for humanitarian reasons, of course first for humanitarian reasons, but also for political reasons, if you secure them a minimum of protection, they will be the most anti-occupation force that you can find in Iraq.
And what is your plan for the refugees?
Yeah, so the plan, the proposal is a legal proposal that says Iraqi refugees or displaced are Iraqi citizens. As such, they are entitled to benefit from their national revenues, whether they are displaced inside or outside the country. So we say we can have a United Nations Security Council resolution that requires that the Iraqi state, whoever governs, now and in the future, allocates proportionate share of Iraqi oil revenue for refugees in hosting countries. This is the plan. It's a legal plan. It's, in fact, in my last sentence, it's just a proposal to change the financing system of responsible agencies of the UNHCR and the different organs of the United Nations. It's not to change the system of the United Nations, it's to change the financing system. Instead of being based on charity, it would be based on taxing the state of origin.
Z idejo, ki bi spremenila delovanje pomoči beguncem, pa Hana ne pomaga le pomoči potrebnim iz Iraka, ampak opozarja tudi na okoriščanja kapitalističnega sistema, ki preko organiziranega prostovoljnega dela izrablja resnično delo ljudi. Hano se je pogovarjala Ana Podvršič.
Neurejena vida je posodo prala.
Zraven nekaj krožnikov razbila.
Za volanom je zaspala.
Saj službo zgubila.
Šef jo je nagnal.
Ker nosečniški trebuh je zaznal.
Da je mera polna.
Od domače tepeške je že bolna.
Sama si je trapa kriva.
Če tudi posilevalcu zanimiva. Sektor Ž. Oddaja o nesposobnih ženskah. To soboto ob enih popovdne.